1, this is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, nothing heard. Alright, everybody, I'm going to need a logger tonight. By any chance, is there a station who could log? This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, W2JEK.
Mr. Don, thank you very much for your stepping up. Appreciate it. Alright, I'm just going to assume you have a comment tonight, and you're checked in, but let me do my ramble here. We'll get you first after the check-ins. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Snap meets weekly on a frequency of 146.955. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club located in Alpine, New Jersey. Net can be accessed with a PL of 141.3, and the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. Stations also who are members of the Chestnut Ridge Club can access via the Echolink. Non-members are excluded from accessing via the Echolink, but it is K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Lima, K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-Lima, if you would like to access via Echolink. Alrighty, the purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, computers, electronics, telecommunications, the natural sciences that underlie our hobby. It's also about our activities, things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we've done before, and things we never want to do again. It's all good. It's also about having opportunity to put up your stuff for sale, for swap, or even request wanted items. So it's a full service kind of chatty kind of net. Alrighty, a couple other small things to keep in mind. We have a Yahoo group, ComTech group. It's called Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Oscar Uniform, Papa, all swished together. ComTech group, it's the Yahoo group. If you can't find it, just email me at whiskey2tango@awrl.net and asked to be pointed to it. It'll help you out with that, no problem. And you won't get any spam. It's a closed group, but it's pretty nice, so you're welcome to participate. Alrighty, with no further ado, let's go to one other final point. That is that we'd like you to check in whether or not you have a question, a comment, or for sale swap, or wanted item. And the reason for that is because we need to know who's there so that we can get people, you know, the kind of information they need. If we don't know you're listening, we can't really do that. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with whiskey, please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Good evening, Jim, WA2UMP from K2BAR. Very good, we got you in. All right, any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo. Name here is Bob, and short comment. Over.
Okay, Bob, WA2 India Sierra Echo. We got you with a comment. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Echo 2, Romeo. Just listening, Charlie.
Good evening, Charlie, WE2R. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? Okay, how about November's?
November 8, Mike Alpha Romeo. This is David. Good evening, Gordon, and everyone out there. No comments, no questions.
David, very good. Welcome aboard. November 8, Mike Alpha Romeo. Got you. Any other November's? Okay, how about Alpha's? Or Alpha List, okay. And finally, Kilo 2's first. Stations with Kilo and 2 together first. 2 Echo India Romeo, K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown. No comments, no questions.
Evening, Howie, K2 Echo India Romeo. K2BAR got you covered. Thank you, welcome. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay. But you must be excited over that Predators San Jose Sharks game tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. This might be the Mets. All right. I'm sorry. Oh, that's not until 10. So, all right. So, you have no excuse. Maybe the Yankees are playing. Okay. All right. Let's see. Any other kilos? All kilos?
Let me list the question, K2VIR.
I'm sorry, Howie, you want to add two questions to your listing?
One question.
Received. We'll amend you to one question. Very good. All righty. Any other kilos? Wow, it's going to be a short one tonight. Well, maybe not. It doesn't always work that way. Any other stations via Echolink? All right, any other stations, any call sign? All righty, well, with no further ado, W2JEK, K2BAR, it's your ball. Welcome, Don. Thank you again for logging.
K2BAR on the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Yes, Barra's next VE test session will be held on May the 28th. That's a Saturday, May 28th. It'll be 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's because it's at the Barra Ham Fest, which is at the Westwood Regional High School, 701 Ridgewood Road in the Township of Washington. So, if you're coming, you'll need a $15 fee, ID like a driver's license or something with a photo on it, or two forms of non-photo ID. Have a license, please bring your current license and a copy of that license. And if you want to use a calculator, that's fine. Nothing can be in the memory. Cell phones, iPods, other devices may not be used as a calculator. And if you haven't gotten a license yet, you will need a social security number, or if you come, you can obtain what's called an FRN number from the FCC, which you will have to give them your social security number, and you'll get an FRN number that we can use at the test session instead of the social security number. And people who are, let me just stop in a second. People who had a technician license issued before March 21st, 1987 can be paper upgraded to a general class now that the Morse code exam has gone away, because the only difference between the tech and the general before that time was the code speed was 5 words a minute for the tech and 13 words a minute for the general. So now that we can paper upgrade people in that category. People whose licenses have expired beyond the 2-year grace period can get their licenses back by taking the current technician exam, and then the class of license, whether it be a general, they will get credit as a general. If it was an expired advance, they will get back as a general, because no advance are listed. And the if you have had an extra expired, you will get an extra. One other thing about extra class, the extra class exam are going to have a new question pool come July 1st. So what you're studying now will be all obsolete after that time. So if you are studying for the extra, come now to our test session or somebody's test session and get your license before upgraded before the end of June. With that, back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, very good, Don. Anybody else have anything to add or ask Don?
K2TRW, late check-in. My apologies.
K2TRW, Kai, welcome aboard. What are your intentions, sir?
None of the above. I will just be listening. Thank you. Back to that.
Okie dokie, very good. Alrighty. Anybody have anything for Don? Don, anything else you'd like to add?
No, not at this time. I think I covered just about everything. If there are questions, I'll be here for a while.
Yeah, but to your point, the Barraham Fest is Saturday the 28th. Saturday the 28th, is that correct?
That's a roger. Saturday the 28th, and we're hoping for good weather.
We are, and it's at Westwood High School in Washington Township on Ridgewood Road. And it usually begins at dark 30, and I don't know what it is for a spot, but it's tailgating only. It'll be wonderful. All righty. Our next person is Bob, W-A-2-I-S-C, K-2-B-A-R.
2-B-A-R, this is W-A-2-I-C, Bob. I just wanted to mention I went to eBay and I've ordered a Ubiquiti bullet to replace my Linksys. I should be getting that, so I guess within the week. Over.
Oh, you're going to like that. You're going to like that. If you're going to continue to use the amplifier, I would give the amplifier a rest for a while. That would be my own suggestion, but that's very good, Bob. That'll be very interesting. Since you're up on the hill and unobstructed other than trees, we should probably take a shot at that at some point. That'll be pretty exciting to try. I'm looking forward to that. So let me know when you've got that squared away. You know, it's got an N-mail on it. You do know that, right?
So I figured I'll mount it directly underneath the antenna up on the roof, and I'm not going to use that amplifier. According to the website, it's 600 milliwatts capable, so the amplifier would be rather pointless. So I figured I'd just mount it outside right underneath the antenna. It should be, and just have the Ethernet cable as the power over Ethernet lead-in. Over.
That's a great idea. You may want to run a little bit of a shroud off the bottom of the antenna just to keep direct rain and sun off the bullet, but that's great. No problem. That's exciting. Very, very good.
Okay, and I think I put it on channel minus 2, that way I'd be clear of all the QRM on Wi-Fi.
Right, and the other thing you're going to need to do is do a change your bandwidth to 5 megahertz.
Okay, yeah, so I'll keep from spilling outside the ham band, and also be compatible with the rest of the system. Yeah, I got an email from Randy about that as well, WA2IC.
All right, well, that's great. So just FYI, guys, Bob lives along, you can look him up in the call book, but he lives along Oriel Avenue, up on top of the hill, and that's pretty cool. So we should start to see some net fill in. We were hoping to hear about a major site this week, but the meeting to decide whether or not and how that was going to go is was postponed till next week. No control we have over that, but that's pretty good. So the mesh is growing. The ARDN mesh, the Amateur Radio Emergency Data Network. Mesh is growing in real time. It's pretty exciting. Alrighty. Oh, one other little bit of note on that same, two quick notes. One is that I'll be at Fairlawn tomorrow and doing mesh node things. I'll have my portable day stuff already squared away by then. So that's pretty straightforward. I'll just charge up the one battery and everything else has been assembled. But you'll see that we'll be playing with some of that stuff, mesh stuff, tomorrow night. What do you call it? Oh, and KB2UCU. Was it UCU? KB2UCU. I'm sorry. Ken in Fairlawn put his mesh node up a bit higher at home, maybe another 10 feet. And all of a sudden, he's got 90, plus percent link quality to Fairlawn to the club. So that's pretty exciting. So things are marching on very nicely. We've got quite a little cluster of nodes in Fairlawn with Carl and Paul and the club, and now Ken. So that's good. Let me drop it. All right. Let's see. I know last week K3GDX wanted to get some of his stuff squared away, and because of the length of the general meeting, it did not happen. So I'm going to try to reach out to Frank and make sure that he knows that we'll be available for that purpose tomorrow night. Fairlawn opens at 6 p.m. tomorrow, and they'll throw us out sometime around 9 or 9:30, typically. And come on down, operate the station, work, use the shop, BS with the guys, it's all good. Have a cup of coffee, it's all fun that way. Alrighty, let's see. What's next on the agenda? Bob, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I think we got it covered. Once I get the thing and I've looked at the Arden website to how to flash the Arden software into it, and the various tests I have to run to make sure that's compatible and so on. So I should be okay. K2BIR, WA2IC.
You're probably going to have to fit the notes back to back to each other to work in the house, because your Ubiquiti ones are going to operate at 5 megahertz bandwidth, whereas the Linksys operate at 20, and there's no way to adjust it. So that's another thing to think about. Anyway, let's see. We had somebody else with a comment. I'm trying to remember who that was. Don, can you help me out here?
Yeah, the only other thing I have is Howie had a question, over.
Hey, let's get to it then. Thank you very much, Don. K2EIR, Howie. K2BAR, over to you.
Thank you, Gordon. This is K2EIR. Okay, so for quite a while now, I've had a battle with my daughter over her hearing my radios, and I also sometimes we have where we want to listen to the TV with headphones, and I've tried various scenarios here. I've had some real cheapies in wireless headphones that haven't been too satisfactory. So this past week I went out and bought a JVC Kenwood wireless headset, let me see if I have the model on it. It's a 900 megahertz thing. It's considered FM and stereo. And I don't see the model number handy. Oh, yeah, HAW600RF. But that's just neither here nor there. I've used it. It has, still hear some background interference on 900 megahertz. But here's the problem and the question. It has a power supply with one of these little coaxial power connectors plugging into the unit that charges the headset. It's the base unit where the audio also plugs in. The power supply, I found out when I try to use it with my HF rig, is a switching power supply and is generating far more RF than the signals I receive, so it wipes out reception. So I said to myself, okay, it works fine with the TV, but now I have problems with the main application I wanted to be able to listen to HF without bothering the family. Allow me to do things like make the bed in the morning and still listen a little bit. So I figured, let me try batteries instead, or at least some of the time, than the power supply. So I want to get a connector that'll plug in here. Now, it's either a 2.1 or a 2.5 millimeter. I don't know what it is because I have trouble measuring it. So I'm trying, the question really is, how do I tell the difference? How do I tell what connector I have so I can order one? Now, I just realized while I was, while the net was on, to compare it with my LDG auto tuner. Let me let the V-set. A V100 Plus auto tuner takes the exact same connector, although the voltage is different. So, I suppose if I can find my manual now for the LDG, if it says what the size of the connector is, I will be able to know and then order one. But the JVC manual does not specify what the size of the connector is. So once again, the question is, can anyone tell me how I can tell whether I have a 2.1 or a 2.5 connector? Trying to measure it with a unit doesn't seem to be very satisfactory. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Okay, so if it's the same connector as your auto tuner, why not just look in the manual for the auto tuner to get the size?
That's exactly what I realized, except I'm not by a computer and I don't have the manual handy. But I'll try to do that. But it may not say. You know, I may hit the same wall that the JVC manual didn't specify. It's possible that the Z100 just doesn't say what the size is.
Okay, but it's LDG. So a quick note to LDG, or a quick note on one of the Yahoo groups. I think LDG has a Yahoo group, or auto tuners do, or various other things, or throw it up on QRZ as a question, and you'll find the size in heartbeat. That'll be easy. On the other hand, can someone look up, since I'm mobile, can someone look up the Z100, the LDG Z100 auto tuner, and find out what size the power connector is?
W2JEK with a suggestion.
Go ahead, Don.
Howie, you have an auto, you have a LDG, they're talking about a LDG power supply that you want to know if that fits the socket on the headset module there. I'm just going to say, try plugging it in and see if it works.
She did not come with a power supply. It just has a receptacle for it, and I think they may have given me the connector. So I did wire in a splice to my 12-volt power supply that's feeding the HF rig, and also my MFJ noise canceler. So it isn't like they provided a power supply. If I find the manual, they may specify what the connector size is, but, you know, they don't put 2.1 or 2.5. They just usually put diagrams and voltages, you know, the diagram showing the, what the center pin is, whether it's plus or minus, and what the shell is, whether it's plus or minus. But they don't, unfortunately, they don't list the size.
HF rig, so you, I was going to say use the LDG power supply, whatever it is, because it would be noise free. Either that or try that. I guess the other alternative is a battery. Back to net, W2JEK.
Bob had a question, had a comment.
Here, I was going to suggest that, although I think you did this, where just take the existing plug and cord and cut it off of the switching power supply, and I'll use that to get your 12 volts from your shack supply or linear regulated supply of some sort. Over.
Yes, it has occurred to me I could put some Anderson power poles and just cut the JVC supply cord in the middle or somewhere along it, and sometimes use it with battery and sometimes connect it up for the to as originally intended. The problem I have with that is the awkwardness of the setup here. I'm trying to do it as little as possible, and I'm holding the unit up on a top of a wardrobe, and the cord stretches all the way down, and not quite making it, so it would be very easy for the Andersons to start getting pulled apart, and then there's going to be stress, and the whole thing is going to be messy. What I'm hoping to, by simply buying a new connector, is, and I just have to buy the right one, or I just have to buy two of the different sizes, is leave the original power supply intact and just get a connector to work on a battery. And I'm pretty sure the battery will take care of my noise problem. Once again, the voltages on the JVC and the LDG are different. The LDG will take 7 to 12 volts. The JVC is an 8-volt supply. I'm feeding the LDG with 12 volts. So I don't want to feed the 8-volt JVC wireless headphones with 12 volts. I think that would be too much.
Late check-in.
All right, late check-in, go.
This is N2JDH with a comment on the current one.
Go ahead, Andre.
Good evening, and I believe that was a 2.5 millimeter plug. So I think that's the same one that's on the MFJ, and I've used that a couple of times, if that helps.
WI2W.
2SE.
Okay, WI2W Steve, you're checked in, and W2SE, W2 Sierra Echo, you're checked in. Let's get your intentions first. Steve first, are you, what are your intentions?
I am looking at the Z100 manual online. It says 2.5 by 5.5 millimeter power jack. And that's it for my intentions.
Much obliged. Which page is that on?
Well, I'm on the LDG site. I'm on the discontinued product product page manuals, Z-100, and it's on page 3.
Yeah, how about that? It does say that. I had just pulled it up when you checked in. Very good. Very good. I pulled over just to get this. Alrighty, Bruce. And thank you, Steve. Bruce, what are your intentions?
No traffic, and I was about to read information that Steve had because I'm looking at the same exact page. Page 3, and it's 2.5 by 5.5. It's the best common barrel connector out there, and you could probably repurpose a piece of cable from some other device, like an old anything that has a barrel connector on it, just chop off the wire and reuse it.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. One thought I had was that you can buy those cables pre-molded, sometimes with the same connector on both ends, Howie, in varying wire lengths. And so what you could do, what I'd recommend you do, is look for something with different mechanical characteristics, you know, different color, different, you know, shape. Not, I mean, obviously not the connector, but the housing or the cable assembly itself, something different about it. So that way you can differentiate it from your 12-volt devices.
Yeah, actually I was looking on Amazon before the net, and the cheapest connectors that probably I could get quickly are a USB on one side and the barrel connector on the other. Again, they seem to be called coaxial power plugs, and that seems to be the cheapest deal because many of them have free shipping, and they go for between $1.89 and maybe $2.50, which is, you know, all it's really worth, but I'll send for one, and it's just good to know.
Yeah, well, again, pick something that's mechanically a little different than what's in the back of the LDGs or other things that you use 12 volts for. And, alrighty, I'm going to take this call. I'll be right back. You guys hand hash this out for another minute or so.
Roger, this is K2EIR. Along the same lines, distinguishing connectors, since so many things are available in black, what I found useful is to take a little correction fluid, white out, and paint the connector, the outside, the insulated barrel, and that way you can distinguish a little bit between some of the things you have, and sometimes that needs some renewal. I also find that's useful on knobs. I have here my Kenwood TMV7, and it had a little indentation on the volume controls, the gain, to show you where it is, but it didn't, you know, there's no contrast, so I took a little white out and filled in that indentation, and it makes a nice contrast both in the mobile and at home. So that's just my little bit of filler. We'll see if Gordon's off the cell phone. If not, we'll figure out a way to continue. This is K2EIR.
Yeah,
W2JEK.
Rather than whiteout, which scratches off material and surfaces easily, try nail polish. You get some cheap stuff in Walmart in some very bright phosphorescent color. Or you can go to any hobby store and buy the little hobby enamel in little small containers, which works well also.
Very good. Our own session of hints and kinks. Thank you. I think that was Bruce. I think J.K. also had something. Go ahead.
Yeah, Howie, I know what you're talking about. I got a bunch of connectors here, not on little barrel connectors, but on banana plugs. I have a power panel here with banana plugs on it. I use it for 15 amps. I don't use that for the big rig, but for the smaller stuff. But in one case, I have a piece of white tape that came out white, but I colored it red with a red marker pen, so I know that that's the positive. Or another one, I took a white piece of tape and just put the plus signs on it, so you know the difference. But in your case, you just want to make sure that you know that that's different. That's 8 volts from all the other 12 volters. You don't want to fry your equipment. Back to that W2JEK. Go ahead, Howie.
What model is it, Howie, on the tuner?
Tuner is Z100 Plus.
That's the LGG. Which is the other one?
The equipment that's giving me the problem, so to speak, with its noisy power supply is a JVC wireless or cordless headset at 900 megahertz. It's got the model variously with prefixes and whatever, but W600RF, and you can change to any of three channels. It's fine with TV because the power supply is not going to cause a problem. But it does cause a problem with the HF rig.
The hold of a clamp on toroid and wrap the power lead, the DC lead, around the toroid right out of the switching wall wart or whatever it is 4 or 5 times, that may solve the problem.
Yeah, I've got some clamp-ons that were meant for coax, I guess. I'm not sure what the cords are, but I have a lot of them, and I can put one on and try the cord. I was thinking of that, but I have a feeling that I won't get enough suppression. I'm surprised they get it at all because I'm receiving on a loop, but the reason I think the loop is picking it up is that it's feeding the other way. The noise of the switching supply is going into the extension cord of 110 volts and is going into the wiring here. One of the things about my apartment is all the wiring in the wall, you know, it's wrapped with this plastic or whatever, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's a standard electrical cable. None of it is in conduit, and I think that makes a big difference with all my noise problems, why I have so much RF noise. Here it's all in the electrical system. Any neighbor, like the people below me, with any switching supply, and it just gets into the whole system. This is K2EIR. You want to go ahead, I think, Bruce?
back if you need W2TDD.
Why don't you take control? I'm going to research the wireless headphones a few seconds. Looks like it runs NICADs internally.
The headset does, but the base is doesn't. The base is on the power supply.
Alrighty. So what's going on? So, yeah, I got the part about the wiring, and I'm not surprised. Don't worry too bad about that, Howie. What doesn't come down, you know, from your neighbor's house to yours, you know, it's similar to the fiasco we have in my neighborhood. The houses are so close together that they might as well be on top of each other and screwed together.
Doing okay on HF reception until I got this wireless headset, and again, the idea was to be able to listen mostly to HF with the wireless headset, and then I'm saying, why am I getting, you know, F3, F4 noise level when I was getting F0 to F1, you know, and it was all the time, and lo and behold, I figured out it was the power supply and the wireless headset, you know, so, and it was very easy, of course, to unplug it and find out, goes away, plug it back in, it comes on again.
Yeah, well, the other thing is just provide a different source of 8 volts, right?
Goes back to the original thought that, I'm going to put the base on batteries, and I just want another connector so I can plug it in.
Why don't you just get a 7408 regulator and a heat sink and power it off that and use your same 12-volt power supply?
For one thing, I want to move this thing around to different rigs, including the TV in the living room and so forth. It's sort of the Occam razors kind of thing. I thought, what can I do quickly and easily right here? And the only problem was I didn't have the connector. I mean, I have a battery holder. I have batteries. It would have been a piece of cake, except that, you know, I can't find anything. I do have a junk box, so maybe I have a connector in a junk box, but I can't find anything, so I'm going to have to order it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Personally, I would use a 7408 and use a 12-volt power supply, at least in your ham shack. And if you want to use your battery pack somewhere else, that's fine.
Eventually. I just want to do something right away. And it occurred to me. But again, I think the simplest thing is, put it on batteries. You know, I can use NICADs. I can throw the NICADs into my existing charger. It's not going to be very much inconvenience. And I can save the power supply it came with for when I want to bring it to the TV or other stuff. And I didn't want to start chopping things up and creating strains in the power cord. It just seemed a little neater. I mean, I could do that again. I could cut the power cord, put some Andersons on it, and I don't have to go and buy another connector. What I find interesting is I went to go to Radio Shack today, hoping that it was still there, but it wasn't. The one around here that has been, you know, survived for a long time, the bankruptcy or whatever of Radio Shack, was there for a long time and disappeared. I went to Granger, and they don't deal with this little stuff. I went to Home Depot. You know, it's that old problem that you can't find parts very easily. It's just easier to go on Amazon or eBay or Dan's Small Parts and mail order it in a few days. You have it, but you don't have it today.
Into NBR. Welcome to the net.
Good evening, gentlemen. A suggestion, Howie. I don't know if you have an oscilloscope or not, but one of the things you ought to make sure is that make sure whatever power supply you are availing yourself with is generating sine wave, not square wave, and also not in the vicinity of a flat screen TV, because they throw out a lot of RF. I can't tell you what frequencies, but I know with my low band equipment, I have to turn off all my TVs if I want to get on the air with a marginal signal coming back to me. MCM in the Midwest, I'll give you their number. if you need it. They'll get it to you in 48 hours, you know, whatever it is. They have a minimum, though, and I have an account with them, so I don't get a minimum requirement, but they're a good company to deal with. Over to you.
K2EIR. Well, again, just before net time, I mean, I haven't had a lot of time to research this. I found an Amazon listing for a cord that has the right connector. I mean, they made right connector. They made one 2.1 and one 2.5 millimeters, and the other side is a USB connector. Well, I'll cut the cable on that cable, and I'm talking, you know, under $5 with shipping, and that I'll go for, you know. And what I found with Amazon is you usually have it in 2 days, so. I think that's the way I'm going to go.
Yeah, one thought, Howie. If you're... No one's suggesting that you put the Anderson power pole on it. What we're saying is the power supply module, that's that switcher, that nasty AC switcher that comes out with 8 volts that has the coaxial power plug on it. Basically, use that wherever the hell you want, just not in your ham shack. When in the ham shack, plug in on the coaxial power connector a power supply that comes off of your 12-volt lead through a 74.8 regulator and in the coaxial power connector.
I'm going to order some parts, and I'll order a 7804, but right now it's just a little bit more work than I want to do for that, and it's not as elementary. I've got too many, you know, too much... tendency to the rat's nest stuff, and the whole thing with the battery and those short cords would just be so much simpler. Again, I was really looking to keep this as a simple thing, and that is probably the simple thing.
Okay, yeah, well, an 8-volt regulator, an 8-volt 3-terminal regulator, probably be just wonderful. I think they come in like amp or amp and a half. I mean, they're pretty awesome. You can also use an LM317 if you want to get fancier. That's an amp and a half, and it's variable. But whatever you wish. Either way, you need a heat sink. All righty. Anything else on this topic from anybody?
QSL.
The SL, go ahead.
CO.
Am I hearing partial signals here? All right. Anybody else for this topic?
K2SE.
K2SE, W2SE, W2TTT. Go ahead. K2BAR.
Still digging, Gordon, but the manual for the headphones themselves don't go into a whole lot of detail, but they do talk about two nickel metal hydride batteries internal to the headphones, which are replaceable. And 8 volts presumably goes into a charging circuit then inside the radio. So it's usually 8 volts at a fairly low milliamperage range. And a lot of those switchers will load down pretty quickly when you plug them in. So you might would just want to look at that or do a little more research.
I mean, I was advocating that he use the stupid little switcher by the television in the living room or whatever, you know, in the family areas, and that he make use of his 12-volt power supply in his ham shack and discreetly bury the 3-terminal regulator, chopping the 12 volts to 8 volts, pardon me, 8 volts in the ham shack, and, you know, dissipate a few hundred milliampere hours of 4-volt dissipation.
K2EIR.
Batteries are replaceable. I'm not sure if they're AA or AAA. Just swap in another pair of batteries that are already charged.
Howie, what do you think?
Connected L.
External charger.
Had a big double there.
Okay, I'll try it a third time. Howie? We don't have a big double, we have a big jackass.
Okay, let's see if I can just get this little bit out. Yeah, let me clarify again about the base. Yes, it charges the headset. In the headset, there are two batteries. They're AAA rechargeables, and that's not an issue.
The only thing that's an issue on that is that if I put it on the base, I'd want to charge it. For that, I can use the switching supply. The issue is that the base is also the transmitter of the audio from whatever audio source, the wired source. So the HF rig would plug, the audio cable would go to the base and to the rig. And when I run it that way, I want to put it on batteries so that there's no RF being generated by a power supply. The switching supply does cause RF interference. So that's the thing. I don't have to worry about the headset very often.
Right, but there's a coaxial power connector between the base and the switching power supply module, correct?
That is correct. The base has two jacks, as I recall. I'm not looking at the rear of it. One is for the audio, and one is for the switching supply. And you're absolutely right. The switching supply, on one end is plugged into 110 volts, and at the other end is this coaxial power plug, the 2.5 millimeter, and that plugs right into the base.
At 8 volts at a couple hundred mils. To keep the base happy and to charge the battery when the headsets are plugged into that. Okay. So, one more time. Use the switching power supply by the TV. Keep a cable set over there. And use the 7808 three-terminal regulator on a heat sink to chop your 12-volt or 13.8, whatever it is, power supply in your ham shack down to 8 volts for the ham shack version. And that way you have it nice and neat, and you plug the coaxial connector of coming off the three-terminal regulator into that within the ham shack, and all is well.
Comment.
Comment, go.
K2BAR, this is N2JDH. Hey, between you guys, can you guys send me that information? I actually have a Sony version, and I was putting that into a mixer to use with my HF. And I'm just curious of what you guys are talking about, because then I might be able to use that as well. Back to Net.
Well, okay. So what are you trying to do, Andre?
No, I was actually thinking about keeping that as an idea in the back of my mind. Like I said, I have a Sony version of it. I know exactly what Howie's talking about. I'm just curious as to what you guys are using, and keep that in the back of my mind if I decide to go that route.
Okay. Howie, as is your custom, can you kind of sketch out something and put it on the ComTech group?
Well, I'll give it a try. I'll give it a go. And Andre can always tell me whether it's adequate or not. K2EIR.
Oh, you'll start a heck of a discussion with that. You've already started one here. That's good. Okay, very good. That's a great thing. We can repurpose. I mean, using wireless headsets, even just to receive audio, is a good thing. At one point, I had a Bluetooth headset. It was really nice. It was my first behind-the-ear headset. It was kind of weird. I wasn't used to it. But it would transceive. Had a microphone in it and everything. But eventually, something mechanically bad happened to it, and that was the end of that.
Well, you just brought up another question for me. This is K2EIR. Can I list that, and you can decide whether you want to take it up now or later?
Knock yourself out, Howie.
Okay, before we got perhaps overly extended on this cordless headset, wireless headset, again, the reason for it was that my daughter objects to hearing the stuff. One of the things we've been talking about for her is to get noise-canceling headphones herself, where I think the thought is it isn't that she needs to listen to something, she just wants to put something over her head and not hear all the surrounding noises. And it was recommended to us that we get the Bose, B-O-S-E, noise-canceling headset. They're very pricey. I think the list price is about $398, $398. I think I saw the same set today at Sam's warehouse for $240, maybe $260. Still a lot of money. And, you know, some of the noise isolation is just the nice over-the-ear cups of the headset. And some of it is, I think, an emphasis, a pre-emphasis on the bass, but I'm not sure. I've read reviews that say, yeah, they work great on airplanes against the low pitched noise of the engines. But does anyone have any familiarity about the real effectiveness and how these noise canceling headphones work? The Bose, I think, actually, as you were saying about Bluetooth, actually has a microphone, so it could be capable of noise canceling. I'm wearing right now a pair of Sony headphones, wired, that sends the noise canceling, but they say the noise canceling is only 10 dB, and I don't see a microphone anywhere. So the question really is, does anyone have any experience with the Bose and how it works, whether it's truly noise canceling or it's just isolation, even though they call it noise canceling. Back to Net Patrol, this is K2EIR.
I know they were popular a few years ago, but I honestly don't know how well they worked out. Does anybody have any thoughts on those? The Bose, you know, I forget what they were, basically quieting headsets. People would wear them on airplanes. I think we're striking out on that one, Howie. Personally, I would go into Lowe's or Home Depot, go to the safety equipment department, you know, the personal protective equipment, and buy your daughter a set of ear cups and say, use these.
I might even be able to borrow a pair from somebody I know who's used them for similar reasons, so she can try it out. I'm trying to avoid spending what for me is big money, you know, like $400 or $300. Dollars for something that may not work. You know, the whole thing is that who wants to wear headsets all day long? You know, it comes down to that.
Well, you know, I personally, I think in your house you're drowning in estrogen and you lose.
you got that fingered absolutely correctly.
And, yeah, wife and daddy's little girl, oh, my God. Anyway, my wife is a saint putting up with the four of us, I'll tell you that. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway. All right. You might want to look online for reviews of those things and see how they work out. But for about $8, you can buy instead of what look like headphones, but they're just basically ear protection, and you can buy them at Lowe's and Home Depot in the personal protective equipment. It's with the safety vests and the goggles and the bump hats and the super light duty hard hats. Bruce.
Hey, just the noise suppression, the passive noise suppression headsets. They're relatively cheap, but it's like putting your head in a vise. I've worn them many times out at the range, and you get used to them, but I don't think his daughter's going to like that. What about coming at this from a different direction and soundproof the shack?
kind of costly, but I think it's worth thinking about. For whatever it's worth, you know, I'm in a garden apartment. My neighbors downstairs complain of hearing us. It's just, you know, structural. There are a number of details I can give you, and I don't want to get carried away. I mean, one complaint she has is that she hears our hair dryer. And my response, really, that I haven't made yet that I want to tell her is instead of her always assuming that I'm responsible and I have to do something, is to tell her to soundproof her apartment, to, you know, get an audio engineer and soundproof it just like a studio. And then, you know, because I don't have a problem, she has a problem. But who knows? Very interesting, Bruce. Thanks. K2EIR.
I have a suggestion. Why don't you get a hairdryer motor, in fact, get a couple of them,
and run them continuously with no heat as a way to circulate air in your apartment in a directed manner, and make sure that you take the cool air of the floor and push it up toward the ceiling. So you basically bracket them with a firm, sturdy mount screwed into the floor, so that way the people downstairs really understand what it would be to have noise from a hairdryer.
Yeah, and it would be a light noise generator, so my daughter doesn't complain as well, right?
And I was going to go there next, but yeah. Exactly. You provide a white mask noise or a pink noise mask for your daughter, and tell her it's there for medical reasons for your daughter, so that she doesn't get a migraine. I mean, you know, I'm really sorry about the medical thing, but you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act is very clear.
W2JEK.
Don.
Yeah, well, good idea with the earmuffs, the ear protectors for the loud noise decibels, 29 dB down or 30 dB down or whatever they're good for. But my thought is that with the ladies, they may not want to mess up their hairdo. That's thought too. I mean, we have a similar situation when I worked in a building. Back to that, W2JEK.
I have a better idea. Your daughter needs to find a nice man. They should buy the apartment from mom and dad. Mom and dad should move to Florida and get the hell out of there and leave them with the stupid loony neighbors and all good.
Well, I'd amend that and say Arizona, but yeah, great idea.
Hey, all right, I think we're getting silly here. All right, what else do we have? NPR. Yeah, John.
I like the over-the-ear type headphones because they isolate you from the surrounding. You know, and it's good for jet. Good on jet airplanes. It's very, it's very effective on and loud at you know, local atmospheric noise. There is an issue with that, and that is that it isolates you from whatever it is that's going on around you in case that's an issue. So you have to remember that. But there's lots of cheap headphones around that will go completely around the ear. It will mess your hair if you have long hair, but, you know, you got to take your chances, right? Back to you.
Good point. I think Don made a similar point. That's very, very helpful. Okay, anything else, Howie?
I think we're beating a dead horse here. Continuing to beat it. Thank you. Now, Gordon, K2EIR.
I think your daughter needs to... Never mind. Okay, I say this, and my son has taken over our living room and our front room as his personal studio while he seeks better accommodations and better employment, although he's doing real well. All of a sudden, he's got at least a decent writing gig, you know, but writing gigs are like exercises in poverty. I just can't stand watching this. It's, like, painful. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thank God every day I'm a ham. I thank God every day that I have the friends and family that I do. I thank God every day for my health and, you know, for my job, which came from all those other things, including my you know, the efforts of my parents. Anyway, but it all comes back to this ham radio. As someone said, where does this all start? And the answer was, it started with a gift of a crystal radio set, or pieces of a crystal radio set, from my next-door neighbor's mother when I was 6 years old. And look now.
I think there's that. And I'll leave you with another thought. I could divorce my wife, but how do I divorce my daughter?
Yeah, but the point is to live happily ever after with the wife and have your daughter go do her own thing. But that's beyond the scope of this net, sir.
And it's a chronic problem for a lot of people these days. I know. Okay. K2EIR.
Do we have any other topics other than that?
this has been fun. Oh, dear me. All right, it's been fun. I got to step away from the radio for a couple of minutes, but I will be back if anyone cares here on 442. But I do have to step away from the radio rather urgently.